This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, and they join us once a month, usually on the first Friday of the month, to talk about dogs, training, and behavior. Listeners, if you've got a question about dogs, give us a call. Jim and Carol will help you out. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. We also have a toll-free number, that number 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Always nice to be seen.
We missed you last month.
I know.
Oh, wasn't you here last month?
No. I was on vacation. We did. Long and well-deserved vacation.
Yeah, good.
How come I don't get a vacation?
You use it up going dog shows.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
We did have a nice visit with Robin.
Isn't Robin wonderful?
Mm-hmm. She is. She's very good.
You'd think some of her wonderfulness would rub off.
Mm. I gave her all companion. Of my wonderfulness, and I'm out.
He's tapped out.
Tapped out. Well.
Well, it's good to see you.
Good to see you.
How are the dogs?
They're great.
It's getting warm.
They're just great. Yes, they don't like it hot.
Yeah, well,
that Monday, they didn't like Monday at all.
Yeah, that was a little warm, but they've had a couple of days of reprieve this week, Jim.
Well, thanks to Ed
males.
and Mike. Mike and the crew. A couple days. The Dog Training Club has its summer, help me
obedience
here,
obedience trial. I don't want to be rude and step on him, but for heaven's sake. Our obedience trial is this weekend.
And today and yesterday would have been ideal days for the trial.
But this weekend's going to be nice.
It's going to be a little warmer. And
we're an air-conditioned building, however.
But it's hard on the dogs traveling and being in the, exercising out in the sun and things like that. Of course, most dogs, it doesn't bother. The Malamutes, of course,
It
never gets cold enough around here to bother them, but it's warm.
Yeah, if the people want to come out and see an official AKC obedience trial, it's this weekend. Don't bring your dog because there'll be dogs entered, but just feel free to come out and watch and get inspired to do some things with your own.
When does it begin on Saturday?
Jim will know this. 8 o'clock? 8:30? 8 o'clock?
I think it starts at 9.
I was wrong. Obviously.
No, it starts at 8:30. We have to be there at 8. Sorry.
And, gee, we're such good representatives. But you can come any time.
Drop in
and visit.
Right. And the entry fee, the gate fee is $30, $40. What is it? Oh, it's free. So anybody, you can just walk in. But you can't bring a dog unless it's entered, of course.
Yeah.
Okay. And the time for entering
is long
past.
Gone.
Over.
Yeah.
Even
long.
I, who have not entered a dog, cannot bring a dog.
Yeah, it's long past. They usually close 2 weeks before the show. It's closed. It's done. That gives in our case, we don't use a superintendent, but that gives the people that put on the show, the superintendent and the local club, time to inform the exhibitors of their ring time and so forth.
I'll bet the listening audience doesn't know, but the American Kennel Club licenses superintendents to put on the dog shows. And the sponsoring club pays them to do that, and the superintendent gets a percentage of the entry fees that come in.
So remember the Champagne show that you went to and mm-hmm. all the tents and everything?
Mm-hmm.
That's all put up by an outside party. They're hired to do that and to process all the forms that go along with the dog show.
There's an awful lot of paperwork.
A ton of paperwork that... It's insurmountable for just most people. But our club we're pretty good.
Well,
there
are companies that have put out software for AKC trials and other trials, obedience trials. And for this trial, for the first time, I think, we bought a laptop for this purpose and the software, and we're going to try it out. We've done that with agility for years, but agility has so much paperwork. But we're going to do it with obedience and see how it works.
So what kind of – I'm sorry, Carol.
No, I was just going to say we're so lucky because we've got a large number of members and such talented people and so willing to give of their – because nobody gets paid for this. It's all volunteer.
What?
Oh, you haven't – you didn't know?
I thought I – I thought Sunday I was going to get a check.
But they have such a diversity of talents, and you get a group of people like that together, and nothing is insurmountable to them. So we've always done our own trial paperwork and procuring of judges and awards placements and things like that. So
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
What will be asked of the dogs who are entered in this trial?
Well, Jim, run with that.
Yeah, well, it's an obedience trial under AKC rules, American Kennel Club rules. There are other venues that have slightly different rules. There'll be novice handling where the dogs do basic obedience exercises, open exercise or open class, which is a little more advanced, some retrieving, some jumping, and then the utility classes, which strangely are the largest classes. When we started out at obedience early years ago, the novice classes were the biggest, and now the utility is. But the utility, you start doing scent work, directed jumping, directed retrieving, things like that. So those will be the most advanced dogs. I think we've got some non-regular classes, too.
Mm-hmm, we do.
Graduate novice, graduate open.
There's something for everybody, but you can't just say, well, I think I'll enter this dog show. You have to go through. You can do it on your own, I suppose, if you've done it before. But classes that show you exactly how things are done, and otherwise you're just wasting your money.
Here's a memory. Years ago, I took Paul to Fox Valley, which at the time I think was the largest obedience trial in the country. And Paul didn't do anything, right? He didn't do the on-lead healing. He didn't do the off-lead healing. He did nothing right. And I'm sure they thought, you know, here's some guy who saw a sign for a dog show and brought his dog. Except he did the recall. He did the recall perfectly. He didn't finish, but he stayed.
Finishes going back to your side.
He stayed. He came. He sat right in front of me. And I thought, oh, thank you. At least they know I trained this dog to do something.
They have the novice classes, which is the first one, is divided into your A and B segments, and novice A is for the handler that has never achieved a title. And once you do that, once you achieve a title on a dog and a novice, then you always would go into novice B. So your novice A category is your most inexperienced, I suppose, dog and handler team, and you have to give them credit because it's frightening to go in the ring for the first time. And there aren't the number of matches that there used to be years ago where you can go get a feel for what it is you're going to be doing. So,
where is the club located?
On Harrison Ford Road.
Route 45 and Ford Harris Road.
Ford Harris Road. Okay.
And there'll be a ton of cars there in the morning, so it won't be hard to... You can't miss it. You can't miss the place.
Actually, it's a little east of that intersection, but
teensy bit east.
You can see it from the road.
Okay, very good. And the role of the superintendent during the show, what is his or her?
Oh, at a confirmation trial, they're very active because they're compiling all the results from each class. Confirmation is the beauty pageant type of show as opposed to other venues. And people want their results pretty quick. You know, they want to go mark the catalogs and see who placed. And it's... it's just a huge amount of work lining up stewards. Well, usually the show giving club has the stewards,
yeah.
But it's just a lot of work.
The judges pick their picks, and then they have to write it down on forms, and then the forms have to go to the superintendent, and they have to put it in their software, and then they have to send it to the AKC so the AKC knows to assign points, because if you win your class, sometimes you get points for it toward a championship, so it all has to be done, and it has to be done right away.
And accurately.
Accurately.
So.
The other thing the superintendents do is get everybody together. They publish the catalog, and they also collect money from people who forget to pay on time. Late entries, people who didn't get proof of their entry, and they confirm things. That there's a lot of activity before the show starts. Once it starts, then it's just a matter of doing the paperwork constantly.
They published the premium list. You know, we always had that show here in the summertime. Well, that was moved to April and moved to Decatur, so it's no longer here in the summertime, which is kind of sad, but that's the way life is. So people that have become accustomed to going to that show every summer, you start to know when your shows are, and and anticipate them. Well, the superintendent sends out what's called a premium list, and it gives you advance notification and the ability to sign up for the show and who the judges are. Well, oh, what,
two months
prior to the show. So I got my premium list saying that the Champagne show had moved to Decatur, and they put that information in there. But, and I knew it because I live here, but I'm sure there are some people sitting there going, I wonder where that premium list should be coming any day now, because that shows the end of the month, or did I miss it? But they notify people of the shows, so.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel are with us this afternoon. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions about dogs, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. This month, June, is Adopt a Cat from a Shelter Month.
Isn't that nice?
Yesterday was Hug Your Cat Day.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. Today is during the Adopt a Cat from a Shelter Month.
Well, that's such a nice thing.
Is there an Adopt a Dog Month?
There's an Adopt a Shelter Dog Month. I think, why do I want to say it was in April? Something tells me it was in April. Be Kind to Animals is May. So I think it was in April.
So if somebody's interested in adopting a friend?
If you go to the Humane Society website, there is the coolest thing there now. We started it with one of our foster families that fosters puppies and moms started it with the last litter. They have a puppy cam up. And if you go to the Humane Society's website, you'll find the link for that. And right now they've got a dog that came into them. She was due to whelp within, I think, 2 to 3 days when the people relinquished her, and she went to live with this foster family. And she gave successful birth to 7 puppies. And every morning they show the puppies and the mom nursing. And then what's really nice about this, and I wish people would look at it, the foster father, they both have keen interest in dogs, but he chronicles their development. And they show the teeth coming in, and you see the puppies as they start to engage one another when they start to hear and see, because they can't hear and see when they're born. So the last litter that they had up there, people saw them and they applied to adopt them. They watched those little babies grow.
Yeah. Now this is the Champaign County Humane Society.
CU,
so that's what you want to put into
CUHumane.org.
Okay.
And that link is there to watch this.
Okay. I'll have to do that. But first, let's take some telephone calls. We go first to a listener on line 4 in Indiana. Hi.
Why, hello. Say, I've got an Australian cattle dog, and I live in the country. About 5 cars go by my house a day, so I'm never around when the dog's out there chasing it. But anyway, he likes to chase cars. How would I break him of that?
Well, I will tell you, I'm going to let Jim answer this, but does this sound right?
Yeah,
okay.
It sounds good.
But I was driving through the country one day about a year ago, which I never do because I get lost and I'm not good on anything other than an interstate, and a dog started chasing me in my car, and it was the most frightening experience for me because he was right there at the wheels.
So you're afraid you're going to...
I was terrified I was going to hit that dog. Now, Jim,
okay.
You can solve his dilemma.
Years and years ago, I think about 1986, we moved to a house we bought from some people. There was about an 8-mile, it was on a road that was about 8 miles long. And if you got 4 or 5 cars a day, we got one a day, maybe 2. And it didn't happen to our dogs, but the people we bought it from had a dog, got hit by the car, the one car a day that came down. The biggest obstacle you have to training your dog not to chase cars is the first thing you said, you're not around. It's virtually impossible to train a dog to do anything when you're not there. You can only train them to do something when you are there or, you know, a substitute for you is there. But there's nothing magic about training the dog not to chase a car. Australian cattle dog is just a natural herding dog. and they're very excited about movement. And I'm guessing if there are any bicyclists that come out your way, the dog will also chase them. But anything that's
moving. We don't have any bicyclists, but we've got a few Amish, and yeah, they do that too.
Yeah, anything that's moving, a squirrel, a rabbit, a car, they'll tend to go after. And with cars, because they are distinctive, it's certainly possible. In other words, if you tried to teach it not to chase squirrels, it probably wouldn't also chase rabbits or anything. But if you teach it not to chase a car, I'm not sure it wouldn't go after an Amish horse and buggy.
Well, that wouldn't bother me at all.
Well, it might have to be a separate training thing. But what you do is get a friend to, just drive back and forth for you. And you have the dog on a kind of a long line, maybe 10 feet, 15 feet, and don't leave it loose so when the dog gets to the end of it, it's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon where they go boing. Keep it kind of a tight hold on it. But when they get to the end of it, just give a little pop, run back the other way so the dog sees you running. And when the dog gets to you, you just give it a big, big treat. And what I would guess the best thing to do, since you're not around, is if there's a tree nearby or something that you can put a rug on or something like that. And if you can't, just a tree. But the dog chases it, hits the end of the rope, you pop it, you run to the tree, and that's where you give the dog the food. And it may be that instead of feeding the dog its regular meals, you feed it its regular meal during the training session. So its reward is its food. So the idea here is that when the dog sees a car, he'll run to the tree.
Okay, positive reinforcement.
Well, there's a little bit of negative when he hits the end of that thing. That's why you want to keep a little tension on it so it doesn't break his neck. So that's the negative correction, pop. And then the positive is running to the tree. Obviously, if you're not there, dog will run there and there will be no food, and that will tend to untrain him. So I'm trying to think of a way.
This is a huge dilemma.
Yeah.
One I'm glad I'm not faced with because, the obvious outcome is going to be one day he's not going to be lucky enough to not get hit.
As long as the dog runs behind the car and not in front of it, he'll probably be okay.
The incident that I had, the dog was at the front tire.
Yeah, they try to.
That is the problem. He gets so close to the cars that the driver really doesn't see. Frequently it's in front of, and so it's going to wind up in disaster someday.
Yeah, well, and they don't understand cars. Obviously, they don't know what they are, and they try to bite the tires, which is a really bad idea. But that's what I say. It's not that you don't want to not give him a nice correction. You just don't want to break his neck when he gets out there. But he has to know that chasing the car is going to lead to a bad result.
Now, shock collars, I didn't hear you bring that up, so you don't feel that that's an option to use something like that.
Well, the problem with the shock collar is that you're not being there for, either the positive or the negative. Dogs don't like shock collars, but they pretty quickly figure out when they're not on.
Yeah.
They're not wearing them. And a lot of hunters use them for long-distance training, but you have to be there to use it. And the kind of shock collar you're talking about is not one that is automatic. You have to operate it. There's a thought, they have those invisible
fences.
Mm-hmm. Fences. You could try that.
Yeah.
It's a little harder. My experience with the invisible fences, I haven't used them, but I have friends that do, that if a Malamute has it, if there's something really tempting outside, it's worth the pain
to go through the fence.
And they'll run through it.
But they won't come back.
But coming back is not worth the pain. So once they get out, they don't come back. So there are problems with everything. But for just simple behavior modification, have a friend drive back and forth, pop the dog, give him food at some station where he can run and be out of the way, and give the car a chance to get away.
Okay, I hope that helps. And I don't know if this fellow would be in a position to have his dog as a companion with him during the day at his side. I know that
that would be the obvious solution.
It depends what your work situation is. But I do know.
Well, there are other things like keep him in a kennel run, keep him in a fenced area.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get the dog not to chase things. You can only redirect him. So he sees something that triggers him, and then he runs to the station.
Okay. Let's take another call now. A listener in Piatt County, line one. Hi.
Hello. Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
We have an 8-month-old Schipperke, I believe. We thought she was a Pomeranian, but apparently, according to the breed traits and the pictures, because I've never seen one, the breed traits said that she's very strong-minded and can be aggressive. And so we went to your puppy kindergarten class, and she did really well. But now, I don't know if it's because we're too lenient, but we're in the country, and we do keep her on a leash because she's so young, and I don't know that she would come faithfully when we call her, but we have mice occasionally that our cat drops. And so what happens is that she will take the mouse in her mouth and absolutely never, never drop it, no matter what. I mean, you can wave a full hot dog in front of her, and she just won't drop it. So, of course, we're reduced to removing it from her mouth, and she growls at us. And so I just don't know if there's any, you know, and she's not good at drop anyway because it's hers. Whatever she has, you know, it's hers. So I just wondered if there's anything that we're, I assume we're doing everything wrong, but.
No, you're not doing everything wrong. I would, and Jim will probably concur with this, I would teach drop with less desirable items until that becomes an automatic response on her part. So you could give her something that's not as highly prized as a mouse, although that wouldn't do anything for me. But then reward her with the drop and go back to teaching it just the way. Does Robin teach that in Puppy
K? Yes, it was really good.
And go back to the way that she taught it, but just use something that's not as, you know, as prized as
razor blades.
A mouse.
That was a joke.
Something that she wouldn't like as much.
Something.
A wooden dog. Yeah. Well, what color is she?
Black.
Well, let her answer.
Oh, sorry. The color, she better be black.
Is she black?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank God.
10 months is just an awful age to try to train a dog to do anything. I personally have given up training dogs until they're a year old.
Really? Well, she's just 8 months.
Exactly.
That's even worse.
And the problem is when they really need training the most is when I really want to give it the least. So it's not going to be easy. Where does she sleep?
We have her in a crate, and also she sleeps under the bed.
Okay. Rogerson would call this a dominance display.
And it's resource guarding, too.
Well, does she eat the mouse, or does she just –
didn't, but then when we try to get it away from her, she just –
She'll try to –
Ew.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably harder on you than it is on the dog, and certainly
– It is.
Easier, hard on the mouse. Is the mouse dead?
Yes, the mouse
okay.
is dead.
We need to train the cats to quit dropping the mice, and that would be the solution to the problem.
Well, I recall, and I'll try to be as – not as disgusting as it was, but we were walking down an alley when we lived in town and walking the dogs, and there was a mouse that had been flattened and had been there a while, let me put it that way. And our female just, as soon as I saw it, I went, oh, no, they're going to get it. And she just scooped it up and swallowed it before I could react.
Sickening.
So, yeah, we're thinking she's going to die, and she's going, that was mighty tasty.
Potato chip.
But this
I'm
suspecting that this is not a resource guarding. I suspect that the pup is doing a dominance display. Mm-hmm. That is, the dominant dog defines what's valuable, and the dominant dog sets the games. So she grabs the mouse, and by grabbing it, in her mind, she's saying, I'm dominant, and therefore this is valuable, and you are just confirming that mm-hmm. by trying to get it from her. Mm-hmm. I know it would be hard, especially if she's eating them, mm-hmm. but what do you have any other dogs?
No.
Okay. I'd grab the cat. Do you have a cat? Is a cat?
The cat, yeah.
I'd grab the cat and start playing with the cat.
Oh.
And saying, that mouse, I don't even care about. It's your mouse. You do what you want. I'm playing with the cat. And get out toys and
it's a good idea. I like that.
The other thing is I would go back to the basic obedience things you learned in puppy class. I think the pup, when they hit 8 months, is it a female, did you say?
Yes.
Is she spayed?
Yes.
That doesn't matter as much. It's just interesting to know. But they hit 8 months, and they're going through a lot of hormonal changes as they become an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And they really wonder where their place in the pack is.
Oh, okay.
And now, I don't want to describe dominance, but I think that's what this is.
I think that she should call and sign up for another class. that would be helpful.
Well,
I think we're signed up for the companion.
Okay,
oh, good.
Good. What night?
Monday, I think.
What time?
Oh, is it her?
I think it's 6:30.
You're in my class.
Okay, well, good.
So I'll just watch for a dog with mouse breath.
Until
her problems later.
Until then, I would do all the obedience stuff. One of the things you can do is a half an hour down, and that's very effective. Just tell her down, and you know, watch TV or knit or run on the treadmill or whatever you want to do for a half hour. But make sure the dog does the down. It's very effective for establishing dominance.
Okay.
I'm not sure about sleeping in the bedroom. That's always an iffy question. But dominant dogs always tend to be found in the bedroom.
Oh.
And sleeping in the bedroom for some reason to a dog makes them think that they're really special.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking, uh-oh. I'm going to try this when I go home. I'm going to use something that, like a slice of ham, and give it to one of the dogs and see if they'll drop it. And they won't. I know they won't drop it because it'll be gone that fast. So,
well, that's a lot more clearly mm-hmm. food.
I know, but this is only an 8-month-old dog.
Yeah.
If the cat's got it, then it must be something good, and she dropped it, so it's mine.
The other thing I was trying to say with my little story was if the dog eats the mouse, it isn't the end of the world.
Yeah, that's true.
You have to watch out for tapeworms and things like that.
What about decon? What if the mouse ingested decon?
We don't have any of that around.
Yeah, good idea.
You know, since we're in the country.
We don't have that problem because our dogs are so big that even if the mouse died from decon.
Yeah, because this is a little guy.
It's not likely that a small amount would hurt him, but with a smaller dog.
Does your dog have a tail?
Yes, the spits curled up.
See, the Schipperkes, do they dock them or are they born tailless?
I don't know.
She has a tail. It's all curled up.
You could have Pomeranians come in black.
They do.
Mm-hmm. She has such a fox face.
And they have foxy faces. We'll solve that for science class.
Years ago, there was a judge in town who had two Skips. And
They're tough little critters.
Well, she used to regularly come home. They'd go in the bathroom and grab the toilet paper. And without tearing it, they'd run through the house, unrolling. So she'd come home, there'd be toilet paper all over the house.
She likes that trick.
Well, they're clever little dogs, but not always well-behaved. But I think that's a funny story. Of course, if it's your house, it's not so funny.
Should we start moving her into the next room for crating at night?
I don't think so.
Do that as a last resort. See how the obedience works. Okay. See how the playing with the cat works, and make sure you have toys that are hers.
Do you have
dogs.
Little kids or anything?
Excuse me?
Do you have little children?
No.
Oh, good, because I would say don't let the kids try to get it out of her mouth.
No.
Growling, I'm not too keen on the growling part. But
well,
that
that's just part of it.
Yeah.
It's part of the play, I think.
That's the worst thing that she does is that it's the growling she's just determined she will never let that mouse go.
Well, if it was a stick, let's say she picked up a stick and by picking it up, in her mind, it's valuable, and you try to take the stick away, she'd growl.
Mm-hmm.
It's just part of the game.
Yeah.
If they're playing with another puppy, and they're playing this game with the other puppy, they'll growl. It's just they're not really, you know,
no,
they're not growling at you like, I hate you or anything.
Work on your droppets, though. Work on droppet.
Work on droppet independent of all
that. And leave it.
Boy, that's a lot of stuff for this poor mouse.
Mouse?
And I think Carol's first suggestion, get the cat to quit bringing mice into the house.
Yeah, get some obedience classes for that cat.
With the cat. Okay, let's take another call. A listener on a cell phone, line two.
Hello.
Hi there.
I have a dog who's scared to death of thunder. And up until about a week ago, he used to, every time there was any thunder or any loud noise, he'd jump the fence. So we took care of the fence, but my concern is, if we're home, he'll hang out with us and stick to us. But when we're not home, what can we do to keep him calm?
Well, once again, when you're not, you can't train the dog when you're not home. There are commercial tapes or discs, audio discs, and it's a fairly well-known, what's it called? Oh, I'm blanking.
I'm not helping you today.
Why not?
Because.
It's to get the dog used to it, and it starts out with very quiet thunder, and you feed the dog cookies and say, isn't this great? And then the next band is a little louder thunder.
It's called desensitization.
Desensitization. But you can get those audio tapes or discs. Does PetSmart sell them?
Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to be real frank here, and I really don't think those work because what they're reacting to is a change in the barometric pressure. They know a storm is coming, and that's confirmed because of the thunder. Now, you can get them used to fireworks, for example, would be something good, but they're reacting to something differently, which can generalize to a fear of fireworks.
It isn't just thunder. It's any loud noise.
Okay.
See?
Well.
Yeah, if any of, like, my husband was in the shed working, and he was pounding something, and next thing we know, he's gone, or anything in the neighborhood that's loud.
So
this is a tough is a genetic condition.
What kind of dog is it, too?
Is it a hunting dog?
I
don't know what happened there. I think we lost the listener. So maybe she'll call back. Yeah, a cell phone dropout.
I was thinking about the cat and the mouse, and I'm thinking the cat's probably getting a big kick out of the dog getting yelled at, and it does it on purpose because cats are so devious.
We had a German Shepherd years and years ago that if it clouded over, she would.
Tracy was like that.
And the problem was if she was in the house, she would jump through windows to get out, and if she was out of the house, she'd jump through windows to get in. It didn't matter where she was always jumping through a window.
It's a difficult. I know many times I'd run home from work, and I don't like to leave them out anyway. But I'd run home from work, and I had what was the stuff I used to give her?
It's like a pheromone
tranquilizer.
No,
I had to actually tranquilize her if there was a bad storm because she would just make herself crazy. And you know, fortunately, I was always able to do that type of thing. I would never leave them out because if I did, God knows what would happen to her.
Gun shyness can be inherited, and it's something you have to breed away from, obviously. But there can be a genetic component, which really makes it a tough problem.
And then it's just management, not leaving the dog outdoors, certainly when you know it's going to storm or fireworks, because we'll have those questions next month with fireworks. Because dogs don't understand noise like that.
Unless they're raised with it, right?
Yeah. But and in storms, it helps the dog to have access to the bathroom because what is it about the ceramic of the stool and the tub, if they are in proximity to it, doesn't it do something about the electrically charged air? It kind of,
you know, there are also commercial wraps. You wrap the dog in something.
I would love to try one of those. They say they work. The pheromones, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little thing that you can, a little bottle of something or other, and then you spritz it in the general area.
And there's little discs that you can
put on the collar. Okay.
And there's little, like, air fresheners that you plug into the wall. I've heard people that have had fantastic success. I've heard people that say they're an abysmal failure. So it would depend on your individual experience.
And probably what's causing the problem in the first place. In other words, the puppy was fine, and then it learned to be afraid of loud noises. That those are easy to conditionally response get rid of.
Whereas but you can understand why they would jump the fence, because it's to get away, or their fear. It's like horses with fright or flight. It's just, I'm out of here. And, you know.
I lived in Chicago for a while, and one day I was at home in the afternoon, and all the sewers started exploding.
Oh, come
on. Oh, no.
True?
Absolutely. And I went outside, and the dogs, we had two dogs at the time. Oh, what halcyon days those were. And they both jumped on the bed, and they were trembling. I go out, and up and down the street, the sewers are blowing up, and I thought
the manhole.
The manhole covers were blowing like 30 feet.
What was this event? What caused it?
A gas station tank had leaked into the sewers, and it had somehow got ignited, and everything was blowing up.
I would be shaking too.
Well, the problem was, no matter where I looked, the manhole covers were flying. Where do you run? Where do you go? I wanted to run away, but there was nowhere to go.
How old were you?
Oh, about 22, 23.
Oh, you were okay.
It was in Chicago. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Our guests this afternoon, dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions about dogs. Join us with a phone call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Next month, in July, as we've just mentioned, fireworks, next month we'll talk with Jim and Carol on Thursday, July 2nd, because we're all going to take a nice long holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So July 2nd. And I also want to mention that in July, there will be a very nice article on these two in our program guide, Patterns Magazine. So look for that as well.
Yes. That was fun. It was fun. Oh,
we have a call.
Sure.
Let's take a call. Listener in Champaign, line one. Hi.
Line one?
That's you. Hi.
Yeah, okay. I haven't heard you mention the one thing that's pretty much always worked for me, and that's Box Rescue Remedy.
Yeah, Box Rescue, that was one of the very first, I think, that was out there. And the only problem, you put little drops on their tongue or add it to their drinking water. Yeah.
And you can sort of adjust the dose to what works for your dog. It's worked for generations of dogs that I've had.
It's BACHS for those out there listening. And
like Johann Sebastian.
Yes, and you can health food stores, right, Sue?
Most health food stores will have it. Some pharmacies will have it.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes in either a bottle with a dropper, or you can get it in a spray.
I used that when we were first having thunderstorm problems, and I didn't find it effective for that.
It doesn't work for all dogs.
No, but I found it effective in other applications.
I have a friend who's dog just doesn't respond to it at all. And my dogs, I have been fortunate. If they've had a problem, they've responded very well.
Well, that's good to know. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the call. Other calls are invited, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Let's go next to a listener on line two, Champaign. Hi.
Hi. I am adopting a collie, a four-year-old collie, and she is a dog that's lived out in the country, so she's coming to the city. And really, I just wanted any advice you could give me to make her transition a little bit easier. She has been a show dog. She knows how to walk on a leash. However, she's been unleashed for a couple of years now. And any advice you could give me would be appreciated.
I just envy you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Because I love collies. They're beautiful.
And she has a great self-esteem. She knows she's beautiful.
You know what that will really help in the transition? If she was a show dog, they worked on her coat.
Yeah.
Because we have Malamutes that not quite as bad as a collie coat, but they got a lot of coat. And I'll bet that she just loves to be brushed.
Okay.
She would.
And it, in order to maintain that coat, that you have to do it like every day, because collie coats can really get matted if you let them go. But I'll bet she really likes that. And if you get a little table, if she was a show dog, she spent a lot of time on a grooming table. And if you can get a grooming table, that's fine. But anything that's elevated, get her on that.
Picnic tables will work.
Picnic tables, something about that height.
Mm-hmm.
depending on how big the dog is.
She recently had a litter also, and I'm going to want to spay her. I wondered how long to wait since it's a
transition. Your vet will tell you that.
Yeah, it'll be a while.
Okay.
So how did you come about to find this girl that needed to be adopted?
My brother has a number of dogs, and he's in a situation where he is employed now and on the road and really doesn't have time to take care of all the dogs that he has. So she's a dog that he's been wanting to find a good home for.
Oh, it's your brother's dog.
It is.
Oh, well, that makes life easier, doesn't it?
It does. And we're also driving all the way out to, he's in Montana.
Poo.
And bringing her back. So it's going to be
Boy,
a long drive.
I hope she likes humidity. There's none there.
That's true.
That'll be a change.
No, you know, just listening to you, you have such a nice, calm voice, and you sound so pleasant, and I think that you two will be a perfect pair.
Oh, thank you.
Doesn't she just make you feel comfortable? Mm-hmm.
I think the only problem you may have, if you're getting a well-adjusted dog, she might bark more than a city people like, because collies bark, and that's part of their job. And there are ways of dealing with that, I think the best way is if you're around and she's barking, I just take some food and hold it and tell her to stand.
Okay.
Because that's when you're showing the dog, that's what you say, stand or stay or something like that, and you show them the food, and they'll stand right in front of you, ears up, tail up, very alert.
I wonder if there's room in that Monday night 6:30 class for one more dog.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good idea. So this would be an obedience training class?
Yeah, and in fact, any kind of training class. Okay. Obedience, computers, anything the dog can handle.
No, it would be my class.
Companion, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're
home
teaching
companion
next.
Class is a dog training club.
Carol
I'm
is
shutting it off.
Shamelessly soliciting business here.
No, I just love collies. That's the old Lassie in me, I guess.
Is Timmy in trouble?
When does that class start?
June 28th is the first class. 25th of June is orientation for all home companion classes. But, you know, it's not just for training. It helps you get to know your dog.
Great.
And it strengthens the bond between the two of you, and you learn to be a team, and it's so worthwhile.
Sounds great.
And I love collies.
Thank you so much. I'll be there.
Okay.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. What a good egg she is.
Yes, indeed. Yes. I'd like to go live with her. She just made me relaxed.
Yeah.
I was just remembering a story real quick about the mouse, but one time when Hulky was younger and he came in after the evening outs and I saw a little tail hanging out one side. I thought, oh my God.
A telltale tail.
And I said, let's just go outside and dogs, he was very compliant. I go, drop it. And out was a baby possum. I freaked out. I thought he'd killed it, but it was playing possum, and he was gone later. But he brought that little possum in for me.
It's the ick factor, I think, that gets you, don't you?
Oh, I can't even stand to think about that. You don't expect a live creature.
Remember, dogs became tamed by eating some really disgusting stuff that early humans used to throw away. So,
yeah. Well, you know, Mike Sola came across, or I can't remember the story now exactly.
Oh,
the rabbits.
Baby bunnies, yeah.
The cat had tore through what do you call a
nest?
A hatch?
A nest is in the
nest.
Ground.
Mm-hmm. And anyway, his dog or dogs found this, and one of his dogs thought, you know, could be a puppy, I guess, and started licking very gently, cleaning up the baby.
And they're still alive. They've got them in a little shoebox.
Two survived the ordeal. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Yeah, so he told me that story when I got here. It was very sweet.
Yeah. So there's something to put a different thought into your...
Instead of rodents in the mouth, we just think of nice dogs with little baby bunnies.
We got to wrap up here pretty quickly. Again, next month in July, Jim and Carol will be with us on Thursday, July 2nd, and look for the article on them in our program guide, Patterns Magazine, next month in July. And we've got the AKC Obedience Trial, or Trials?
Trials, because there's one each day. They're separate events.
At the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana, which is located at Route 45 and Ford Harris Road, or a little bit northeast of that location in Urbana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
very
east,
good.
Directly east.
Directly east, okay.
Saturday
very
and
good.
Sunday.
Okay. And for dog lovers out there, I would recommend the movie Up.
I heard that it is fabulous.
Okay. So there you have it.